All right, Psalm 90 in your Bibles, please. Psalm chapter 90. I'm thankful for the truth that I may not be where I should be, but I'm glad I'm not where I used to be. Isn't that true? And I'm so thankful for what God has done. If God has saved you, well, if you're saved this morning, say amen. If you were saved as a child, raise your hand. If you were saved as an adult, raise your hand. All right, if you're saved as a teenager, raise your hand. Sorry, Miss Brenda, didn't mean to leave you out. All right, raise your hand again, teenagers. Got saved as a teenager. All right, good. So it may be that there's some things you, worldly speaking, that you didn't miss out on. And don't beat yourself up over that. Thank God that he brought you out of it. Amen? Amen? Yeah, okay. And maybe there are some things that you missed out on, worldly speaking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So. All right, Psalm 90. We're just going to begin. We're only going to read one verse, but let's go ahead and stand together in honor of God's word, if you're willing and able to. Psalm 90, verse 12. Just read it out loud with me. Beginning of verse 12. We'll just read verse 12. Ready to begin. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The title message this morning, even though it's not found in this verse right here, it's found in another one, is I Press Toward the Mark. So let's pray and we'll get into it. Our God and Heavenly Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your word and how powerful it is and that you can use it and that you want to use it, your desire to use it in our lives. Lord, thank you for using it despite ourselves thank you for using it despite this preacher here. Lord, we love your word. We talked about that in the Sunday school hour. I'm thankful for it. I thank you for this time together we've had as a church family. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us now to receive what you have for us. And not only hear it and receive it, but to determine to apply it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Last February, I believe it was, we went to Florida, correct? Last February? Yeah, last February. Will and Grace are with us. They live in Florida, and thanks for gracing us with your presence today. We were in Florida last February, and we did not look you up. Sorry, we went to the South area, and you're probably grateful that we didn't look you up anyways. But we were in Tampa area for a conference, and we got to do some things, have some fun, just my wife and I, and it was a blessing, and I thank the church for allowing us to do stuff like that. It does help us out a lot. But we kind of wanted to see a lot of things with the little bit of time we had. We were there a while, but we didn't have a lot of free time with the conferences going on. And we did get to see some alligators, you know, and those things, they're kind of, there's an awness to them and a temptation for me to want to run up and grab the tails. We got to see them, and I did get pretty close to one. My wife's like, that thing's fake. I'm like, that thing is not fake. She's like, it's holding still. I'm like, it's real. Okay, it's right there. It is real. And we're arguing back and forth about it. Part of me was like, maybe it is fake. But no, it was real. I went like that. I'm like, yeah, that's real. It blinked. So anyways, it was a pretty good size one. And I got pretty close. Don't try this at home, kids. But we saw a bunch of manatees, and there was this one, I don't remember what it was called, but it was north of Tampa a little bit, and there's just this area where they come in, it was beautiful. Those things are huge and fat, and they're just graceful in the water, and there are hundreds, is that safe to say? Hundreds of them. That was really awesome to see. One thing we wanted to see, and we talked about it and kind of almost did it, but we knew it wasn't very feasible with the time we had. I want to go down the Everglades. I've always wanted to do that. And then spend some time there and then head even farther south to the Florida Keys. And I'd love to drive on those roads there. How many know what the Florida Keys are? And how many have been there? And I want to do that. One thing we did do is we went to a shore there in the Tampa area, and we got to see the sun set, and that was beautiful to see. Just kind of stops you in your tracks Well, it stopped her in her tracks. She stopped to enjoy it while I splashed around in the water, and she wanted me to stop and hold her hand and enjoy the sunset with her. I am sorry about that, babe. Will you forgive me for not spending that time with you there? But I had a lot of fun in that water. But I think about the Florida Keys, and I mean, you think about a sunset. I can only imagine what it's like driving on those bridges, connecting island to island there in the Florida Keys. And I'm told it's unforgettable. You drive across miles of open water, the ocean stretching out on both sides. I know the Gulf, but ocean water, and the sun is setting, and you know, just one of those picturesque moments where the sun kind of melts into the sea, you know, the sky meets the water. And part of me driving that, I'd be impressed, but part of me would be like, and I grew up in Seattle. So they're in the Seattle area connecting different places around Lake Washington and the Puget Sound. There are bridges that go across bodies of water, and they have floating bridges there. And I understand there's floating bridges in the Florida Keys, and it's even longer and more impressive. And to me, that's just like, I'm on a floating bridge. Like, think about that. I'm on a floating bridge. Is this stable, right? Nobody's like that. I think that way. I'm not scared of bridges. One, I think it's pretty impressive, but then I like to imagine a storm. Like, I don't know, I'm that way. When we went to New York and we were in a skyscraper, we were at the World Trade Center, the monument building there or whatever, we were at the top of that one, and I'm just thinking about an earthquake. Like, and I say to my wife, wouldn't it be cool if we had an earthquake right now? She's like, shut up. You know, and so I'm that way when I would go across like the bridge at the Florida Keys and have some fun with that. But really, part of me is like, how do they withstand the weather, and how do they not fall apart? Are they safe? You know, and I don't know that they are for the most part. But I guess part of me would be thinking about that as I'm driving across. But with that said, this is the last Sunday of December, last Sunday of the year. We have another year behind us, full of memories, full of blessings, full of hard times and difficulties and trials and hardships and lessons. And yet we have another year ahead of us. And what is that full of? Unknowns, right? Unknowns, except known to God. Full of opportunities. And to kind of start off with immediate application here, if you're on the road that God intends for you to be, if you're going the direction that God wants you to go, it doesn't matter the uncertainties. It doesn't matter if it seems safe or not. You can imagine earthquakes and storms all you want, but you're in the safest place that you can possibly be if you're in the center of God's will. Do you believe that this morning? And I hope that that matters to you. I know that it does. And that's kind of where we begin this morning, with 1 year behind us, but we press forward, and Scripture teaches us to pause in our text in Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I guess part one of the message this morning is this, and by the way, I said this in Sunday school hour, this is kind of going to be broken down into very applicable points, and I'm just going to state them. I don't normally list like I do, especially on a Sunday morning message, like I'm going to do here, but kind of part one of this is reflecting on the days God has given us, or learning from them. And so part one is this: God of our yesterdays. God of our yesterdays. And so according to this text, and according to what I'm talking about here, I want to begin this morning by looking back. The year behind you, no matter what it entailed, the year behind you is not wasted. There may be some things you want to forget. There may be some things you wish would not have happened, but they did, right? Right? There may be some things that you wish could be forgotten, but don't allow them to be forgotten. The year behind you is not wasted. The year behind you is not forgotten. In fact, according to our verse here, your days are numbered. So those days are numbered by God Himself. Now, I know some would say, and it is applied directly to, you know, maybe how long you might live, that kind of thing, and how many days are in your life. But let's get specific about the day itself. God has numbered your day. God has numbered your days. I think about Moses, the man of God, who prayed this, who wrote this. And he says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that verse reminds us that God wants us to pause. God wants us to consider. God wants us to learn. And God wants us to grow from the days that He has given us. So there's some things regarding this that I think we should apply regarding our God of yesterdays. As we reflect here, as we reflect, we should think about, or we should have gratitude for God's mercies, number one. Because God is a God of mercy, isn't He? Oh, man, He is. Did you mess up at all last year? Did you do anything wrong last year? No? Wow. I need to take a page out of your book. Because I did. You're pretty impressive. You are. But even though you messed up, and even though I messed up, God still showed mercy. Think back over the past 12 months. How many times did God show mercy? How many times did God answer prayer? How many times did God provide, even when you didn't know how the need would be met? How many times did God protect you from dangers that you never even saw? Well, we can't answer that one. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Every single day this past year was marked by God's mercy. Even the days you thought were ordinary were filled with God's mercy and compassion. You say, well, how can you say that? Because I deserve to burn in a devil's hell. Right? I'm a sinner. But I'm not there. Right? I'm here. Really, every day is better than what it should be. And I that's what I deserve. But at the same time, I've been saved for several years now. I know heaven's my home. I've known for several years that it is, and many of you can say the same thing. But even as Christians, every single day that we've lived this past year was filled with God's mercy. We often take those mercies for granted. We rush through life without pausing to stop and thank God. But this kind of reflection forces us to stop and to say, God, You've been faithful. God, You've been good to me. Even though I've sinned, even though I've messed up, even though I've forgotten about You, even though I had this prideful attitude, or I committed that sin, or whatever we could come up with, God has still been faithful. Israel was commanded to remember how God brought them out of Egypt. And that was Moses. That was, every time you find what he writes in the Bible, you find that that is something that he emphasizes over and over and over again. Remember what God's done for you, what God's done to you. Listen, we've just gone through a season of thanksgiving and our gratitude for Jesus Christ coming to this earth and to die for our sins. And when we talk, we want to stop and talk about God's mercies and God's blessings. Listen, just salvation was more than enough, wasn't it? But yet He still provides blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing over and over and over again. David, when he was in the city of Ziklag, and before he was king, and he had a bunch of really renegade followers with him, according to the nation of Israel and their wives, and they were hiding in the land of the Philistines from Saul because the king Saul was trying to kill David, and they went away to go to battle. They ended up not going to battle. They ended up not doing what David had intended in his heart to do. And so as they come back, they return to their city. The city of Ziklag is burned, all consumed up. And then all the women and children were taken captive and all their possessions are gone. And the Bible says that the men, his own men, talked about stoning him. You've gotten us into this, David. You got us into this mess. Now, the end of the story, if you know it, is God gave them victory over the Amalekites who took all the women and children, and they were all restored. Praise the Lord for that. But at the moment, David didn't know what was going to happen. And now his men are speaking of stoning him. So the Bible tells us there in that text that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He called the priest and he said, listen, it's time to do business with the Lord. It's time to spend some time with God. And the Bible says that he encouraged himself with the Lord. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you and your family to take some time and encourage yourself in the Lord. Take some time, because you may or may not be with me this morning. You might be tired. I don't know what your day has entailed already, or your week has entailed, and you might be wore out from all the holiday busyness and all that kind of stuff. But take some time and reflect on God's goodness to you. You might even, while I'm talking, be thinking about negatives that have happened. And I'm trying to encourage you to focus on what good has happened. Take some time to think about what God has done. Your spouse, your family, your children, your parents, the provision he's given you. None of those things are owed to us by God, but they're given by God's grace. So take time. Name one blessing. Name one blessing. Write it down. Speak it out loud. Thank God for it. So as we think about our God of yesterday, we ought to have gratitude for God's mercies. Number two, we ought to have lessons from our trials. Because not every day was easy. Some were heavy with difficulty, or some were heavy with loss and disappointment. But those days were numbered by God too. But God didn't waste them. No, God doesn't waste days. He has purpose in every day. James 1, turn there if you would. James 1 in your Bibles. Save your place here in Psalm. We'll be going to different places. But James. Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy, there in verse 2. James 1, chapter 2. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Doesn't mean like sinless. It means to be perfected or to mature. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and it braideth not, and it shall be given him. Trials are not accidents. Some look at obstacles as obstacles. God looks at them as opportunities. Trials are assignments. God uses them to shape you. God uses them to strengthen you. God uses them to teach you patience. God uses them to draw you to have dependence on God. Think back. What did God teach you through hardship this past year? Maybe he taught you to trust him when finances were tight. Maybe he taught you to lean on him when health was not certain. Maybe he taught you to pray more earnestly when relationships were strained. Maybe he taught you humility when you thought you could stand on your own two feet. Maybe he taught you his love when you sinned and messed up, but you found out you can still go to God in repentance and have a good, right relationship with him. Praise God for his mercy. Romans 8:28 reminds us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his mercy. According to his purpose, I'm sorry. Which is mercy. Even the hardest days, God was working those days together for good. You say, well, it didn't work out for good. Well, in my life, when those days didn't work out for good, that wasn't God's fault. That was mine. God was still working those days out for good. But it says there's a prerequisite to them that love God. To them that are going to walk with God, to them who are going to lean on God, to them who are going to look to God. Instead of asking, why did this happen? Why did God bring me here? Why did God do this? Ask, what did God teach me? What was God trying to teach me? Because that will shift the pain into wisdom. Which is number three. What we get from last year is gratitude for God's mercies, lessons from trials, and wisdom for the future. Because reflection is not about living in the past. Reflection is about carrying wisdom forward. And Psalm 90 verse 12 says we are to apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's what it says. That means we take what we've learned and we use it to live better in the days ahead. Go to Ephesians 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Because this reflection helps us to redeem the time. It reminds us life is short, right? And opportunities are precious. And so that's why it's important that obedience is not delayed, because life is short. We don't get this day back. You don't get today back. You don't get that opportunity back. You don't get that moment to serve the Lord back. Every sunrise is a reminder that God has given us another chance. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says, but it also goes on to say, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And absolutely, that can be applied to another opportunity for those of you who, or those in this world that do not know Christ as their Savior. But God is long-suffering. He's given you another day to be saved. But Peter used these words in that text. If you think about it, God is not willing that any should perish, or God is... The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. He used the word to us word. Peter, a Christian, is saying God's long-suffering to us. He's long-suffering to you. Every sunrise is a reminder that God's given you another chance, and every sunset is a reminder that the day is gone forever. The day's over. And reflection teaches us to value both. So, what's the take home on that thought? We should commit to living intentionally. We should commit to not waste the days that God has given us. We should use them. Use them for prayer. Use them for the Word of God. Use them for service. Use those days for witnessing. Number your days. Apply your hearts to wisdom. And then something else that this reflection in Psalm 90 causes us to think about is the faithfulness of God. As you look back, one truth stands out above all the others, and that is this: God has been faithful. God has always been faithful. He was faithful in blessing, faithful in trials, faithful in lessons, faithful in mercies. Deuteronomy 7:9, you might want to jot this down. The Bible says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Because really what this is all about is reflection is not about us. Reflection is about Him. Reflection is about how good God has been despite yourself. It's about seeing His hand, seeing His care, seeing His love, seeing His mercy, seeing His grace. When we number our days, we see His fingerprints on every single one of your days. Go to Hebrews 13, if you would. So that was part one. Part two is this. So part one, God of our yesterdays. Part two, God of our todays. Hebrews 13. Verse 8. Would you read this one out loud with me? Hebrews 13, verse 8. Ready, begin. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So reflection is important, but we don't live in yesterday, right? God's given us today, this moment, this opportunity, this responsibility. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's in the past. Tomorrow's not promised. But today is in our hands. And Hebrews 13:8 reminds us Jesus Christ is the same today, and His promises are alive right now. Because today, number one, today is the only day we can act. Today is the only day that you can act. When you think about, my mom had a sign on her wall growing up, and it said this, the only future you have is today. But today is the only promise that you have. It's the only day that you can act. I want to use the word responsibility for this part two. God of our today's responsibility. If I had a word for part one, God of our yesterdays, that would be reflection. So part two, God of our today's, that's responsibility. And when we think about responsibility, the first truth is simple. Today is the only day we can do anything about. Yesterday's written, tomorrow's hidden. Today is before us. Today is the only thing we're promised, and that's why Scripture says in Psalm 95, verse 7, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. God speaks in the present tense. He calls us to obey Him now. How often do we put off obedience? Well, I'll pray tomorrow. I'll read my Bible tomorrow. I'll start working out tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow. We can put a lot of things off. I'll serve when life slows down, but the only time we're guaranteed is today. Proverbs 27, verse 1 warns, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Responsibility means acting in the present, acting now. That's what responsibility is, acting now. And so here would be the application to that. Challenge yourself to ask, what steps of obedience can I take today? What steps of obedience can you take today? Not tomorrow, not someday. But today, what can you do today? The second part regarding responsibility. So first, today is the only day we can act. Number two, today is where faith meets reality. Responsibility is not just about action. Responsibility is about trust. Hebrews 13:8, where we just read Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That means the same Christ who carried you through last year is the same Christ who is with you today. Thank you, Brother Tyler. Appreciate that. He's awake. His presence is not stuck in the past. God's working is not stuck in the past. It's also not necessarily waiting for the future. It's alive right now. Think about how often we live our days as if Christ were distant. No, how often do we live a day not even considering Christ could return today? How often do we do that? We talk about what He did long ago. We talk about what He will do someday. But we forget that He's present in this very moment. Matthew 28:20 says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That means His promises for today. So responsibility means living by faith in the present. It means trusting Christ today in today's struggles. What are your struggles today? Don't say them out loud. What are your struggles today? Do you have struggles at work? Do you have struggles at work? Don't answer, but just think about it. Do you trust Christ in those struggles? Do you have struggles at home? With people? In your family? Do you trust Christ in your struggles today? Do you have struggles with your health? Do you have struggles with personal battles? That means believing His promises are enough for this moment. Can I say His promises are enough for this moment? You got to believe that. I use the term encouraging yourself. So ask God to help you, but encourage yourself to lean on Christ's unchanging presence. If you're saved, say amen. His presence is always unchanging. He's there. It's unchanging in whatever you face today. Whatever it is, you name it, whatever you're facing, if you're saved, God's presence is with you. So really, today is a gift of grace. That's the third thing. So regarding our God of today's or responsibility, today is the only day we can act. Today is where faith meets reality. And today is a gift of grace. Responsibility also means recognizing that today is not an ordinary day. It is a gift. Every sunrise is proof that God has given you another chance to serve Him. Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and what? Be glad in it. And we often treat days as common, as ordinary. But the Bible says each one is crafted by God. God's made today. God has made it. Even the day when you go through a day that is hard, this is the day that the Lord hath made. He has purpose. He has a plan. He has design. He has something He wants to accomplish in that day. It's not ordinary. It's a gift. It's not just another square on the calendar. It's a day that God has designed. It's a day to rejoice, to obey, to serve, to worship God. Don't waste it. How often have I wasted my days? Don't waste it. Use it for Christ. Number four, under responsibility, today demands urgency. Today demands urgency. John 9:4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus Himself spoke of the limited time we have. The night's coming. This day will be over. Opportunities will close. That's why today matters so much. We can't afford to drift through life as if we have endless time. We don't have endless time. Jesus is coming again. We must redeem the time. Ephesians 5:16 tells us that. And it says, because the days are evil. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day, how would I live it for Christ? Today is the only day we can act. Today is where faith meets reality. Today is a gift of grace. Today demands urgency. But God doesn't just give us today. He also has tomorrow in His hands. That's part three. Our God of tomorrows. The word for that is hope. Go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. That's where we get the title of the message. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. It says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we've looked back with gratitude and we've embraced the responsibility of today, but God calls us to look forward. Tomorrow is not yours yet, but it is God's. It's in His hands. Because it is in God's hands, because it is in God's plans, then I can trust God in it. So, a few things on this. God of our tomorrows. The word is hope. Number one, tomorrow is unknown to us, but not to God. Now, here's the first reality about the future. You don't know what it holds. You don't know what 2026 holds. The new year might bring storms. It might bring some changes. I know we don't want to think about that. It might bring some surprises. It probably will bring a little bit of all of those things, at least. It will probably bring things that you don't want to happen. You would not pick, you would not choose. It's not in your desire for these things to happen. And while all of those things may be true, none of those days are outside of God's control. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You don't know tomorrow, but you know God, and God knows tomorrow. That truth should give you peace. Because you don't have to fear the unknown, but because the unknown is known to Him, you don't have to fear the unknown. Did you hear that? It's kind of not how I intended for it to come out. But because the unknown is known to God, you don't have to fear the unknown. I like that, actually. If I can remember that, I'm going to write it down. Because none of it's outside of His control. Jeremiah 29:11. Would you turn there, please? Jeremiah 29:11. Another thought that would help us with this is the simple statement, tomorrow may be hidden from us, but it is planned by Him. Tomorrow may be hidden from us, but it is planned by Him. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. If you're there, and would you read it out loud with me? Many of you have it memorized. So before we read it, I want to help you with some emphasis. Because we read through it, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." But this is God speaking, so let's put emphasis on the word "I." "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." All right? So, ready, begin. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That's why I said tomorrow may be hidden from us, but it is planned by God. We need to rest in God's control over what we cannot see. Number two, tomorrow is opportunity. Tomorrow is not just unknown. It's opportunity. Tomorrow when you wake up, it's another opportunity. Paul said he is reaching forth unto those sayings which are before. He's reaching forth. That's active. It's not figurative. He is actively anticipating, excited, involved. He's reaching forth unto those things which are before. There's movement intentionally. The new year 2026 is not just another calendar. The new year is another chance to grow in Christ, to serve Him, and to witness to Him. Think about how many opportunities God might place before you in the coming year. Opportunities to share the gospel. Opportunities to encourage someone. Opportunities to grow deeper in prayer and scripture. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Tomorrow is filled with opportunities to do good. So I want to encourage you to challenge yourself to set spiritual goals for the year ahead. Daily prayer. We have our daily Bible reading schedule back there. We have the chronological order. We have a read the Bible through a year. We have our church calendar there. Opportunities for you to be involved in church things coming up. But encourage yourself. Plan opportunities for deeper study of Scripture or faithful service. Number three, tomorrow's hope. I mean, that's really above all. Above everything else we've talked about. Tomorrow's hope. Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What does that mean in our text there? "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The prize is eternal is what it means. Our hope is not in circumstances. Our hope is in Christ. Your hope is not in how your day turns out circumstantially. Your hope is in Christ who is in the day. And hope means that you can face tomorrow with confidence, not because you know what will happen. I'm glad I don't know what will happen, by the way. but because we know who does know apples. And Titus 2:13 calls it that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. One thing I do know that is going to happen is Christ is returning. And I'm looking forward to that day. Tomorrow's not just another day. By the way, tomorrow's another step closer to seeing Jesus. That's what it is. Remind yourself that no matter what tomorrow brings, you're secure in Christ if you're saved. And last, tomorrow calls us to press forward. Paul says he is forgetting what is behind, he's reaching forth. It doesn't mean he's ignoring the past. It means he refuses to be chained by the past. Reflection is important, but dwelling on the past can hold you back. Tomorrow calls us to move forward. Isaiah 43:18 says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it?" I love that. Remember, this is Isaiah 43:18. "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it?" God's always doing something new. Tomorrow is his new thing. So press forward. I want to remind you the bridge that you're on. By the way, go to Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to stand and read that here in a minute. Philippians chapter 1. As we close, let me remind you about how I began. The bridges connecting the islands there in Florida. The road you're on might seem questionable. But if you're in God's will, it's safe. If you're in God's will, it's the route that he planned. It might seem unsure. It might seem impossible. It might seem like it hangs over the ocean with nothing beneath but water. Storms are going to come. The winds are going to blow. But that bridge, that road you're on, if you're in God's will, it's the right one. It's the only one that will carry you where God intends you to go. It's not always the easiest path, but it is always the safest path. It's necessary to get you to the next place he's prepared for you. And I'm just saying, trust it. Stay on it. Don't turn aside. That's where danger comes. See, it's not about the danger, and it's not about the sea. And you think about it, it's not about all of those things. Those aren't a concern anymore because now you're on the bridge. Now you're on the right road to get where you need to go. And so it is with our life. Before those bridges were built to get from island to island, it was a lot more work, a lot more intensity, a lot more determination and other means by which to do so and other things that to deal with. But now it's just a matter of getting in your car and driving across the bridge and you're on another island all of a sudden. And so it is in our lives. If we'll just take the path as Christians that God desires for us to go, if we'll follow his will and do what God wants, it's not about what we want. It's not about our desires. It's not about our ambitions. We ought to have the desires God gives us and praise God that he does plant desires in our hearts and we strive for those things. I'm not saying you're not allowed to have desires. I'm just saying, if they don't line up with God's will, then you're in a dangerous place. If they don't line up with the Word of God, if they don't reflect what God would have a Christian to do, then that's when things get dangerous. That's when you're driving off the bridge and you're no longer safe. But when you're on it, you can enjoy the beauty that he shows you along the way. If you followed God's will in your life, or you may have seen some storms, you may have gone through some storms, but you've also seen some beauty, right? A kind of sunset that causes you to stop and just say, look at what God did. Look what God's doing. There's no better place to be than the center of God's will. And the stretch may be farther than you can see, but it's steady. The bridge may look narrow. There's not a whole lot of people going this way. But it's strong. Storms will rise, but Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So we should echo Paul's words in Philippians 3:13, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth and those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's the bridge beneath your feet. Trust it. Press forward with it. Stand with me if you would. We'll read Philippians 1 verse 6 together. So we're leaving this year behind and we're stepping into the next. We got to remember these words here. Philippians 1 verse 6. Would you read out loud with me? Ready to begin. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ."